You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hello! You are listening to Muses and Stuff. This is the podcast that's all about the dolls. They were the groupies, the wives, the girlfriends, and the muses who played such a huge role in rock and roll history by simply being themselves. They're smart, sweet, sexy, brave, and powerful. They went after what and who they wanted, and they made no apologies. Welcome, my friends. Glad to have you. And with me today is my friend Lynx O'Leary.
Always so happy to be discussing these women with you.
Oh yeah, baby. And today we have a bit of a different episode. We are going to let you know of a bunch of groupie films and groupie related movies that you can watch, do some homework,
discover yourself,
entertain yourselves,
have fun,
and have some fun, because that's what it's all about.
Yes. So there's a couple good films that star women who have been discussed in your podcast already.
So we're going to break it down into a few different categories for you.
Yes.
And when Lynx came up with this idea, I was like, that's a brilliant idea. I'd love to do this. And and she's like, do you have any that you'd like to add to the list? And I was like, totally. I've already made the list.
Yeah.
I've already made my list. Just
yeah,
for no reason at all, except of just like one day I made a list. But I've got about a million journals and diaries, and I know which one it's in, and I couldn't find it. So I'm just going to be adding a few to Lynx's list as
and
we go
can
on.
Always do like a part two of this. I'm sure even I can think of more to add eventually. But for now, don't want to overload everyone. Let's put what we got here and start on that before we begin a whole second list.
Sounds good.
So the first one was a groupie documentary that was made in the 60s. Miss P has a small part in it. Some other women, not too many like big famous ones, but it's an interesting look back. Of course, the clothing and like the women, and it's cute. That's on YouTube, and there's also another Miss P one.
Yeah, so actually Miss P, it's a VH1 also found on YouTube. So if you just type in VH1 groupies, it's Miss Pamela. So Pamela DeBar, after she released her book, Let's Spend the Night Together, which has been an excellent resource for me. I've taken it and I've used it as information, as research for the podcast, because every chapter in her book is a different groupie, a different muse. And she goes and she visits them and she interviews them. And whatnot. So it's almost like a little bit of a supplementary thing afterwards. And I watched it again over the Christmas break, and it was just so fantastic. But talking about the groupie doc in the 60s, it's interesting because back then, these women were actually getting some spotlights themselves mm-hmm. for being groupies. And they were in magazines.
Yeah,
like
Rolling
they were
Stone.
In Rolling Stone yeah. magazine. They were in. And so I'm trying to think which one of the groupies it was that saw. Oh, Bebe Buell had said she had seen these women in the magazines and went like
who are these women?
Yeah. Yeah. And so they were exposed to them through that. So the VH1 documentary is pretty great because Pamela goes and visits Teresa Tana, mm-hmm. who is the woman who taught Elvis Presley how to kiss, how to dance, how to
she
make
was incredible.
Love.
I got to see her live. She was amazing.
Are you friggin' kidding me?
I got to ask her a question.
Yeah. Every single time Lynx and I have a conversation, she tells me a story or she tells me something that completely blows my friggin' mind. Like, she
was
Lynx,
amazing.
You are a groupie, a modern muse through and through. And a part of me wishes that I could just reveal all of your stories and secrets on here. But you know what? You know what, babies? You're just going to have to wait until she's ready. But trust me, you will not be disappointed when that day happens.
And speaking of Tura, she was an actress. One of her best films is called Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. Mm-hmm. It is the best Russ Meyer film ever. Every line is like a double entendre. She kicks major ass in it. Highly recommend seeing that. It's a great like cult film, like a B movie from that era.
I can only hope that I will have a cult following someday.
Yeah.
I just want to appeal to a certain breed of music nerd. Mm-hmm. And so that's my hopes. So Pamela, another one in this, we'll have to get through them. Like, not rushing, but, you know, fairly quickly is a couple of the interviews that I love that she does is, of course, with Tura. And Tura shows Pamela the ring that Elvis gave her when he proposed. And
I haven't seen this yet.
A lot of people, like, don't believe that. But you know what? It's like what you said to me earlier, like, well, maybe people wouldn't believe it. It's like, well, you know what? It happened. And we're a lot of things as groupies and muses. But you know what we're not? Liars.
Yeah.
So,
and all you have to do is look at Priscilla Presley at the time and see that Elvis tried to transform her into Tura. Like, her entire look is Priscilla.
Yeah.
When they married.
And then she talks to Lori Lightning, who was the nymphette who was essentially kidnapped by Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
But she was okay with it. And she, for the first time that she had sex was with David Bowie.
Yeah.
And the way that he went about it was so amazing. And she'll tell the story herself. I won't even get into it now.
It's a great story.
Time.
Yep.
And then she interviews Catherine James, who I just fell in love with her. Just listening
She's
to her
so
speak.
Beautiful.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness. So, yeah. And because it was sort of Pamela was at
the heart of it.
Like, it, she controlled that documentary.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. And then there's the interview that she does with Sweet Connie, and just Pamela's reactions to some of the things that Sweet Connie says is just priceless.
I can only
beautiful.
Imagine. Yeah. I need to check this out. I remember when it came out, you couldn't find it in Canada for a long time. So it's good to know it's on YouTube now. I'm going to go do that when I get home. Obviously, Elvira, she's done a bunch of films. I shouldn't have to tell anyone about this.
So Elvira is Cassandra Peterson.
Yes.
And heavily influenced by Elvis. He gave her a lot of pieces of useful advice that mm-hmm. she took and essentially, you know,
created this amazing character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check out her films. They're so much fun. For Marianne Faithfull and Anita Pallenberg, Girl on a Motorcycle is like quintessential Marianne in the 60s. It's also like very cult 60s film. Alain Delon is in it. They're both so beautiful. And for Anita, I would suggest Performance, which we talk about in her podcast. And Barbarella, it's fun seeing her play a villain.
Yeah. I would add to that list A Hard Day's Night, mm-hmm. which is the movie that Patty Boyd met George Harrison.
I think it was the Beatles' first film as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she didn't have much information about it because she was just doing just commercials and, you know, modeling at the time. But essentially it was, here's your costume, dress up as a schoolgirl.
Yeah. She was so adorable.
Go on the train. And sure enough, when the doors open, in came the Beatles. Mm-hmm. And she said she was attracted to George right away. And mm-hmm. he is my favorite.
I feel like you can see it in the film, too. You can see like a little flirtation going on there.
Oh, the chemistry.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, I've seen, if you just type up Patty Boyd and George Harrison in YouTube too, there's these kind of interviews with them when they are engaged or just first married, and it's in black and white, and she's just, you know, sitting there just looking at him lovingly, but it's almost so innocent.
Oh yeah,
they like were the so way young. Like they were so young, and yeah. This was so new to them, and, you know, fame was a completely different thing than it was now.
Yeah.
And it was actually like it was a bit weird to see, you know, how the people wanted them to show off the relationship.
It was weird to like do a press conference, like you just got married and you have to like,
but also kind of sweet.
Yeah.
And she's just so beautiful. And
oh, like, yeah. She was adorable. Yeah. Absolutely.
Innocent.
Yeah, almost. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The second category are biopics, if you will, movies about groupies or muses. The first one, Sid and Nancy, obviously Nancy Spungen. That's on YouTube. It's a good film. The only issue I ever had with it is that the woman who plays Nancy plays her too well, where she gets really annoying. Like, her voice is very grating. But that's what Nancy was. So you can't give her, like, a bad review for playing her perfectly.
Interesting.
Yeah. Itself, it's good. Gary Oldman plays Sid, and he's just such a phenomenal actor. So I highly recommend that one. A movie, Stoned, that's also on YouTube. I haven't seen this one, but it follows the life of Brian Jones. So obviously Anita's going to be in there. Maybe Marianne, I'm not sure. But I don't want to say anything about the quality of that film.
Mm-hmm.
There's The Doors.
That one I have seen.
Yes, Pamela Corson. Haven't discussed her yet,
nope.
But in the future. She definitely had an influence on Jim Morrison.
Who's the sexy guy that plays Jim Morrison in that movie?
Val Kilmer.
Oh, that's right. he was.
He did a good job. Yeah. Like, yeah, he does. And I think he sings in it as well. And he does like a good job at that. Oliver Stone directed it, I believe. So it was pretty good. That's a good one to check out.
I would say for me, I really like the movie Control, which is about Joy Division and Anton Corbin, who was Joy Division's photographer. A lot of those classic black and white shots of mm-hmm. Joy Division were done by Anton Corbin. And so the movie Control is in black and white
mm-hmm.
and sort of he shot it in the same way that he
directed
would have shot the film. He directed it.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, it's beautifully shot. It's a gorgeous film.
A lot of music, like the score is beautiful. Mm-hmm. A lot of Bowie in there. Plus all of the actors are phenomenal. They're
absolutely
beautiful.
Absolutely.
I watched it over and over and over again when I was in university.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, I'd say like it sort of influenced or even fueled the relationship that I was having with somebody at the time. And it almost made me feel like what I was doing with this like musician at this one time was okay, because it was all a matter of that wasn't even a fully formed thought, but I was drawing a lot of parallels to myself, which probably in hindsight, you know, that movie and Ian Curtis's life doesn't end well.
No.
Neither did the relationship that mm-hmm. I was in at that time.
What a strange coincidence.
What a strange coincidence. But it's a really fascinating look at Ian Curtis's home life, his mm-hmm. family life, how he started growing up, like what it was like growing up in Macclesfield and getting married so young to Debbie Curtis, and then starting the relationship and the affair with Anik.
Yeah.
And right. How, yeah, just the complicated nature of both of those relationships. Mm-hmm. And Debbie Curtis actually has a book called Touching from a Distance, and it's very good.
I gotta read that one. Yeah. I haven't read that one yet. We haven't discussed Edie Sedgwick yet. Nope. As well. There is a movie, Factory Girl. It's very loosely, like, take this one with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot about Edie. Facts, they didn't seem to care about facts while making this film. So don't believe everything you're seeing. But for the essence of Edie, it's a good film to see. And just to get an idea of factory life, like the Warhol scene and the people in that world. And if that movie interests you, I highly suggest reading the book Edie, American Girl, because that will give you the true story of Edie. But yeah, the film is all right. It's just not very factual. My favorite on this part of the list is Velvet Goldmine.
Never heard of it.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
This is one we gotta watch together.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite movies. It's sort of a musical. After reading Angie Bowie's book, which thank you, you lent to me, they definitely use that as a template. It's about Bowie. It's about Iggy Pop. It's about the glam rock scene. It was about androgyny and all that whole thing. Apparently when they were beginning to film it, Iggy Pop signed off. There's actual music from the Stooges in it. And apparently David Bowie was all for it, but read the script. I think because there's some sexual going-ons in it involving the Bowie character and the Iggy character, and something made him decide to pull out. So there's no actual music from Bowie. There was supposed to be, but
okay.
Maybe because also they definitely did take from Angie Bowie's book, maybe something like he decided not to endorse the movie. So they created a new character, but it's very obviously Bowie. And it goes through like the Ziggy Stardust era and stuff. They just call it something different. But the music's great. They replace the Bowie stuff with like New York Dolls and Brian Eno and other bands from that glam rock era. And there's definitely like Angie Bowie in it. Not called Angie Bowie. Toni Collette's that character.
Cool.
The Iggy character is played by Ewan McGregor.
That's an interesting
choice.
He
is so good in it. He's so good. And the Bowie character is Jonathan Rhys-Meyer.
Why do I know that name?
He's in a lot. He actually played Elvis as well, now that I think about it, in a miniseries.
Okay.
Yeah. The cinematography, the costumes, like the whole look of the film, they really captured London glam rock. It's just
sounds great. Okay.
Gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And Todd Haynes directed it. He also did I'm Not There, the Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. So he really loves like music and that subject matter. And yeah, this is like the unofficial Bowie Iggy world. You'll recognize a lot of people. It's fabulous. It's so very good. I'm cool. Excited to watch that with you.
Okay. Amazing. I'm going to add Love and Mercy to this list. Yeah. So this is the movie about, do you know,
Brian Wilson.
Yeah. So John Cusack plays the older Brian Wilson, and I forget the name. Paul Dano plays the young Brian Wilson.
He's so good.
Great. Yeah. And then Elizabeth
Banks.
Damn, you're good. plays Brian Wilson's love interest, who essentially seems like she saves him evil Paul Giamatti, what's his face, that was controlling him and drugging him and all of these kinds of things. And it's just a beautiful movie with great music. And I saw it once in theaters, and then I saw it again, and everybody in that movie just plays excellent. Yeah.
Paul Dano playing the young Brian is just so good in it. I love Paul Dano. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
So the next part of the list is just movies about groupies in general, groupie characters. Obviously, everyone knows Almost Famous. That's sort of the top groupie film, I guess.
For sure, which I love. And I think it's funny because I've gone through phases where I saw it and I went, yes, this is amazing, because I was essentially kind of living in that way and just a very
identifying with
carefree identifying with these kinds of things. And then there was a couple of years where I couldn't watch it because
too close to home.
Yeah. And then there came a time too where I was just so depressed that I didn't believe that there was any new music happening. I have to back up a little bit, because when I first saw it, I liked it, but I didn't think too much of it. And then it kind of went on the shelf, because when it came out, I was pretty young, and I wasn't even out of high school yet. So no, yeah, I wasn't living it yet. Oh yeah, I absolutely wasn't living it yet, because I graduated high school in 2006. So I saw it and was like, okay, whatever. And then when I was in university, I watched it again, and then I identified with it, and then I couldn't watch it for a while because I got depressed that that music in the 70s, it's never going to happen again. That whole thing, it's just not going to happen again. And it's true, but I needed to just work through it and accept that.
No,
like,
I hear you. Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, and as much as sure, we've got bands that, you know, dress the part and look the part these days, it's just
that magic is not the same.
It's just not. It's true. So I had to put it down for a little while. And I was focusing on a different kind of studies for a while where I couldn't be living that lifestyle and doing those things, really. I mean, I was to an extent, because it's who you are, and you don't, you've said before, we didn't have a choice. It's like being a groupie is more of, it's who you are, as opposed to you're a groupie for this band. I'm such a groupie for this and this band. You are or you aren't.
Yep.
And so I had to take a break from the movie for a while, and then I got to come back to it and say, having the relationship with Pamela DeBar, who was the main influence. Kate Hudson had pictures of her in her dressing room. But the only thing that Pamela had said about the movie was Band-Aid is a movie term, because then people started, even the girls in the movie went, we're not groupies.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know what, back then they would have been,
we're
groupies.
Yeah,
absolutely. We are groupies. Yeah. And then another thing Pamela said is she would have never tried to off herself for,
absolutely,
because of them, because of
so
her.
Not a lot of people know this. I don't know if you know this or not, but
ooh, hit me.
There is a director's cut of Almost Famous called Untitled.
Yeah, I love it.
Yes. I cannot even watch the theatrical anymore. I can only watch.
Okay, so I don't know if you know this, but the Untitled is pretty much almost everything they filmed.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So
it's 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
So Cameron Crowe said that everything that pretty much that they, like, that
that's
was it.
It.
That's
yeah.
all. There's no more footage. That's
and
it.
Anyone who hasn't seen it, they cut out so much of Penny Lane that when I watch the theatrical now, I'm like, I feel like they cut out the true essence of her. And like you only see half of everything. You don't, you're not getting the full picture with her. And it's just such a better film, in my opinion.
They cut out the scene where before they put the coat over the door in the ice room, Russell's putting ice cubes in the cup and he's naming everything that makes her so special.
And like that is why she goes back with him. That's, you know, and they also cut out a huge scene before she finds out that they traded her off.
Her birthday party?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they sing this big song for her and there's this poem and it's beautiful. And of course that adds to her heartbreak. Like one moment it's there's this love there. And then the next she finds out something.
Too. Like you get involved with the other members of the bands. Like I know that I've not only have I been in, you know, relationships with these guys in bands, but then their bandmates come to like love mm-hmm. you and adore you. And yes. then you have this. And then when you say goodbye to that one, then it's kind of like, well, do I have to say goodbye to everybody? And mm-hmm. yeah.
So, yeah, if you've seen the film and you love it, especially if you love the character Penny Lane, I highly suggest go out, find the untitled director's cut. It's called Untitled. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. So I have three films that are sort of like level one groupie, as you talked about with Andrea, I believe, where you're not with the band. You're a super fan, maybe.
Yep.
There's Bye Bye Birdie. That was made in the 60s. That's sort of a take on Elvis and his stardom and how all the women used to swoon over him. And it's about this character that goes to like a small town and there's a contest to like win a date with him and all the girls go nuts. And Anne Margaret's in it, who had a thing with Elvis.
Oh, interesting.
Which is funny because it's based on Elvis, sort of. So yeah, that's sort of like level one. There's not like a relationship thing going on, but it's a cute, lighthearted musical. There's also a cult film called Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Stains. And that's about a girl band that gets big really quickly. And they have like tons of followers who all dress the same and follow them everywhere. And
it kind of reminds me, what's the movie with Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning?
The Runaways?
The Runaways, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I love that movie, yeah. I love The Runaways. They're the best. So, yeah, that one's an interesting, like, just about fandom and how we just idolize these people. And doesn't mean we want to sleep with them always. It's just something about their music or whatever. And the third one is such a fun film. It was made in 1978. It's called I Want to Hold Your Hand. It's a Beatles movie. It's about these, I think it's like four girls from Jersey who go to New York for the taping of the Ed Sullivan Show when the Beatles first came to the States. And it's just them going on a wild adventure. Each one of them has like their own New York City adventure, trying to get a ticket to see the Beatles on Ed Sullivan and all the wacky things that happen. Like one of them somehow ends up like in the Beatles hotel room and is like, you know, touching their guitars and like their combs and, you know, going nuts. And it's just like a wild ride. It's a lot of fun. And the great thing about that one is they actually got the rights to all the Beatles songs. Mm. So it's like you hear all of the Beatles and you don't find that anymore. You can't find movies nowadays where it's original Beatles. There'll be covers of Beatles songs in films, but not the
right.
original.
So like Across the Universe, mm-hmm. for example, is mm-hmm. one of my favorite movies of all time. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the most
beautiful.
The yeah. music is incredible. The acting is incredible. Mm-hmm. The messages that they have in there are insane.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to hold your hand, like super fan Beatle. And they really created that like super fandom. Well, other than Elvis. Elvis probably did.
What about... I want to talk about this one.
Okay. So, first...
Okay.
there's this movie called Girl. It's actually like a teen groupie film. It was made in the 90s. It's on YouTube, by the way. It's not the greatest, but I actually recently rewatched it. I loved it when I was a teenager. I rewatched it and I was actually surprised at how they tackle the subject of groupie, and the whole film sort of is the character analyzing what it is to be a groupie, what it is about her that's drawing her to this rock star, and her feelings toward that, and others, you know, judging her, but her, like, you know, it's like a journey for her. And I thought it was actually pretty well done. Like, they do analyze it pretty well. And another fun thing about it is it's very 90s, the hair, the costumes, and all the actors are recognizable people. Dominique Swain plays the lead. Tara Reid's in it. She plays like a punk rock star. She's actually like really fun in it. And Portia de Rossi's in it, and Sean Patrick Flannery, and Selma Blair, and they're all cool people that you remember from back then. And it was interesting. It was nice to see a film, especially a teen film, tackle the subject with a positive message. Mm-hmm. And there's also it was from a book called Girl by Blake Nelson, which I've read as well, and that was a good one. So that was the teen version. And then there's the senior version.
The Banger Sisters.
Yeah.
With Goldie Hawn and
Susan Sarandon.
Yeah. And I know that Pamela actually went to the premiere of this, mm-hmm. of this movie. Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, Goldie is Kate Hudson's mom. So right. They both play groupies.
They play the sort of has-been groupie. The Goldie Hawn character is still living the rock and roll lifestyle. Yeah. But then the Susan Sarandon character has, you know, curbed her groupie ways.
Out,
and she's gone straight edge, and she has a family, and yada yada. And then, you know, the Goldie character comes in and kind of shakes things up. Mm-hmm. And Susan Sarandon gets back to her groupie roots. Her wild ways, and gets connected to who she truly is.
Yeah. That one's fun. So yeah, there's like the teen version in Girl, and then the older version with the Banger Sisters. I feel like they're a good pairing.
Yeah, it's funny to see, you know, that like going back to that VH1 documentary where Pamela, you know, jumps in and interviews these women who were groupies in the 60s and 70s, and some like couple in the maybe like early 80s. Yeah. She doesn't go too much beyond that. And just seeing where they are now, how they've kind of developed, what paths they were on. And, you know, some of them have gone on to do things that have really grown their own identity. And you can see that there are some who that is who they are.
Yeah.
And they are very closely, like, they identify with who they were then. And
yeah.
And that's
the rock and roll path was always meant for them. That was the journey that they took, and others kind of veered off from it, but still have that heart there, but mm-hmm. sort of grew past it maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Another fun cult one, Rock and Roll High School, which is about a character named Riff Randall, and her favorite band is the Ramones, and she sets out to see them and bring them to her high school. It's really silly, really fun. The Ramones are in it. They really cannot act. It's kind of fun watching them. Yeah, it's really silly. But PJ Souls, who plays Riff Randall, is just so delightful, and just tons of fun. It's a really fun cult film, especially if you love like punk rock and that scene. That's a fun one.
I totally forgot that Cynthia Plastercaster has a movie.
Oh, yeah. A documentary, right?
Yeah, it's a documentary that I mentioned in my Cynthia Plastercaster episode. But essentially, I think it's just called Plastercaster.
Cool.
Yep. Okay. One of my favorite movies of all time is Laurel Canyon. Mm-hmm. And it's starring Christian Bale and Kate Beckinsale and Frances McDormand. And so Frances McDormand plays the mother, and she is a producer up in Laurel Canyon. And Christian Bale is doing his doctor, like he's in school to be a doctor, and he comes to do his like internship or whatever it's called, and Kate Beckinsale is like writing her dissertation, but they're super 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 straight edge, and he resents his mother for the rock and roll upbringing that she had put him through. But she's super cool, and like there's this beautiful scene where it shows like in her living room there's like pictures of her that you could, you know, obviously are superimposed, but it's like her and Neil Young and her and Joni Mitchell and her in the studio with
Wild Days.
But she's still producing, and she's got this young English band in at the moment, and yeah, and it just so happens she was supposed to be out of the house at the time when they were supposed to be staying there, but something happened with an ex-boyfriend of her, and so they all end up having to live in this house, and it's showing Kate Beckinsale's almost development into a groupie. And she gives feedback about what the band's working on, and then Christian Bale's character is getting angry at his mother for converting his girlfriend to
this life.
Yeah. But he's studying like psychology and things like that, so he's trying to analyze his mother on this sort of level, and it's just the soundtrack is amazing.
Awesome.
The visuals of Los Angeles and Laurel Canyon are beautiful, and of course Frances McDormand is cool. A genius.
I'm gonna check this one.
So if you don't know, she's the one that she's the mother in Almost Famous as well.
Yeah,
she's
fantastic.
Yeah, William's so mom.
Cool. For 80s metal, there's obviously Rockstar.
Yeah.
Not the greatest film.
A movie that my younger brother like loved, because he's a big Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark fan. And our dog is actually named after Izzy. So that movie's funny, and it kind of relates to like groupie culture, because he goes into being a virtually unknown to being in one of the biggest rock groups of the time. Metal.
80s.
Not even like, it was like hair metal, right?
Yeah.
So, and then dealing with the sort of temptations that come from
and
that lifestyle.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah,
is
she's
girlfriend.
The girlfriend. Yeah. And then you see all of the people, the hangers on. And
yeah.
It's cheesy.
Yeah.
It's.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But
it's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
But then again, if you want, the music like, is a funny laugh and Mark Wahlberg is great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
One of my favorite scenes of all time in a movie is in Boogie Nights, where Mark Wahlberg tries to take his career into singing.
Oh my God. You got the touch.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. You got the power.
Oh God, yeah. So good. Oh, I met him once.
Oh my God. What? When?
I met him in New York at a party. He was very short.
Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, he's like my height.
Cool.
He was nice. He introduced himself. He said, "Hi, I'm Mark." So I thought that was nice that like he doesn't assume everyone just knows who he is or whatever. Yeah, he was lovely.
Sweet.
Yeah. He was with his wife, so no stories.
Just that you met him?
Yeah.
You touched his hand.
Yes, indeed. There's obviously Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap, one of the most hilarious parody rock and roll films ever.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of play up that whole idea of like Yoko and breaking up the band. And so, I mean, not the greatest look on the groupie thing, but it's just so hilarious that like, you got to watch it if you haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so good. It's so much their fun. Girlfriend, then when she becomes the manager and she's getting them all dressed up
and she has
cowboy
those,
outfits and her and the looks that she goes through a couple of different looks. So,
and you can see it rub off on her boyfriend in the band.
Yeah.
Wearing like the same like hair ties around his head. And
even Angela Bowie liked it. Like, like the movie Spinal Tap was so good that even the musicians of the time and
you can't not like that film. It's so hilarious.
And they were like,
they make fun of like every aspect, not just like the groupie aspect or the meddling girlfriend or whatever.
Harry Shearer is
so funny.
The unsung hero of that movie.
Yeah, that one's a great one.
And then the decline of Western civilization, which it's funny because I have an episode of the podcast where I just put the movie on and I recorded my commentary throughout the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Which in a way is insane. Like a part of me goes, why would anybody ever want to listen to that? But I was like, well, maybe somebody, you know, is at home on a Saturday night
and join in.
they want some company. They want to watch a movie. Well, they can put on that movie. They can play my podcast in one ear and they can kind of go through it with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's actually done that or if, but I, yeah, it's,
they're interesting documentaries.
They're
very like a reflection of that time.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that was the most shocking was the scene where Paul Stanley is in the bed with three women and they are absolute props.
Oh, yeah. And a woman directed those.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's also interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thought about one and then forgot and then thought about it again and then forgot. So if we do a part two, I can.
We'll have to do a part two sometime.
Yeah.
There's so many more.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite movie where it's the actual artist themselves that's being interviewed and talking about their own career?
Like a documentary?
Yeah. With like clips from, so like mine, for example, is Run It Down a Dream. It's Tom Petty's and then it's him talking about how he started in Gainesville, Florida and what happened. And then there's interviews from Dave Grohl and George Harrison and Jeff Lynne. And it's something that I just watch over and over and over again.
I like Dylan's Don't Look Back, which is not, I mean, that's just a documentary like of him at that time. It's not a reflection of, but that's probably like my favorite rock doc, if you will.
Great.
And the latest one on Kurt Cobain.
I haven't seen it yet.
Montage of Heck. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's when Control was released, the Anton Corbin film that I was speaking about, there was also, like, you could get in a DVD set a documentary about Joy Division.
Yeah.
And that was very good. I think I've got it up on that shelf there.
We'll have to do another podcast with, like, rock docs.
Yeah.
Like, on the bands themselves and not
favorite
just
soundtracks.
Focus on the... Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Lots to think of here.
This episode went a lot longer than I expected it to. Yeah, I thought we were just going to
be like a 20 minutes.
20 minutes through these. This is a full-on episode, but that's fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope people go out there and check out these films.
Yeah, and
and let us know what you think.
Yes, please do. Yeah. Give us some feedback. Did we miss anything?
Yeah,
favorites? What are your favorites? We'd love to hear from you. And again, thank you for listening. You can find links on Goodreads. She's got some amazing book reviews. She's smart, beautiful, sexy, and she's a groupie, and she says it loud and proud. Just
proud of it.
Just like me.
Yes.
Proud of it. So thank you for listening. You can find me on Facebook, Muses and Stuff, and you can find me on Instagram, Muses and Stuff Podcast. And that's all I have to say.
Happy
about
watching.
That. Happy watching. Take care. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.